Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's my privilege to be here this morning, and I'm very happy to see you all again from this angle. So I'm grateful for your prayers, even as I started my chaplaincy role with St. Luke's Hospital last year. And I'm also thankful for the opportunity to preach today on Senior Sunday. And so as we begin, let us seek the Lord to reveal Himself through His Word. If we have our Bibles with us, please turn to the Epistle of James and let us pray. Gracious God, speak Your truth to us this day. Prepare us so that the light of Your Word can illuminate our hearts, convicting us, challenging us, and changing us. That as we grow in Christian maturity, we can bear good fruits according to Your will. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock, our Redeemer, and our Friend. Amen. During my PSPC internship in 2017, I was deployed to serve in the Senior Members Fellowship for Ministry Exposure. I felt unprepared because I felt that I could not relate to the seniors. Right? I was in my 30s and I felt too young and inadequate to serve the seniors. And so I shared my concerns with Pastor Darrell. And he said, and I paraphrase, "If we wait to be old enough to serve the seniors, then it will never happen. Because as we age, they will also age. And when we are so-called old enough, we may not have the health to serve them by then." And now as a hospital chaplain looking after elderly patients, I might have a better grasp of what could be helpful, not just for the seniors among us, but also for the rest of us. And it's my prayer that as a church community, we may help one another age well and also to die well. I have chosen to share from the letter of James because it was written to instruct the early Christians how to live according to the teachings of Jesus. The early church community was experiencing challenges in Christian living, and that was why James focused on the necessary practices for Christians to be resilient as they live life. And these instructions from James are relevant for us today, even as we talk about aging. Aging is inevitable. No one can stop its process. We will all have to go through it and experience a decline in physical, emotional, and mental functions. It is also not easy to grow old. It is said that growing old is always a first time for everyone. For every person experiences the aging process for the first time. For example, I am 46 years old this year, and this is the first time and only time I will be 46. This is also the first time I am experiencing worsening eyesight. Now I cannot read without glasses. And it's my first time experiencing pain in the sole of my feet every time I wake up in the morning. It's also my first time experiencing stiff shoulder if I slept on my side for too long. The list goes on, and it seems like there will be a lot more first times to come. Growing old means having to experience many of these changes for the first time. And if these challenges are surely coming our way, then it matters for us to be prepared when it comes. In today's sermon, we will see how James exhorts us to be a community for Christian living and to be reconciled for Christian living. That through it, we might be reminded that as a church community, we can support one another through life all the way to the end. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 22 reads, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." The first part of this passage talks about being hearers of the word, to be quick to listen, and this is so important. Whenever I have new patients admitted into the ward, I will spend time talking to them. When the patients feel that they are being heard, that the listener is showing interest to them, it will have a positive effect on them. But sometimes, newly admitted patients don't want to talk to me. At first, they would welcome my approach because they would think I'm a doctor. So I walk to them wearing my office attire. They would say, yes, yes, 医生来跟我讲话. No, if you're a doctor, come and talk to me. But after I introduce myself as a counselor, they say, oh, I don't want to talk to you. No, I ask, what happened? What do you mean you don't want to talk to me? And the patient would reply, I'm okay, leh. There's nothing to talk about. And then I would then reply, how come there's nothing to talk about? And then as I ask further, these patients usually open up and the conversations would usually go on for an hour. And after the sessions, these patients would usually end up saying, thank you so much for talking to me. It has been a while since anyone was interested in what I had to say. In the hospital, being able to listen and understanding our patients is important. Because every patient that comes in, they are more than just bed numbers, and they are more than just disease labels. They are persons like you and I. There's a quote attributed to Sir William Osler, one of the founders of Johns Hopkins University. And he said, it is much more important to know what sort of a patient has a disease than what sort of disease a patient has. It is much more important to know what sort of a patient has a disease than what sort of disease a patient has. And in our local context, the St. Luke's Hospital nurses would say that our patients are orang, not barang. So the patients are actually people and not things to be treated as if you are transporting them from bed to wheelchair, wheelchair back to bed. And if in the hospital the staff can put in effort to understand the patients, then how much more we as a church should listen well to one another to know and love the patients or love one another as how Jesus commanded us. But in addition, we must not only be good hearers, we must also be doers of the word. In verse 20, James wrote, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It is not enough to only hear the word of God, but we need to put it into action as well. So as Christians, we are called to be both hearers and doers of the word. And by extension, all of us in the church community must be hearers and doers for one another. Reverend Dr. Tan Soo Ean is the director of Grace Works, a ministry which promotes spiritual friendship in church and society. And in public, Soo Ean often shared his challenges in life and ministry. He had gone through multiple losses, lost his first wife to cancer, and second to a marital breakdown, and then after that, he lost his ministry because of that. When he was badly grieving the death of his first wife, Soo Ean had a co-worker who would drive to his house every Monday morning, and then this co-worker would bring Soo Ean out for dim sum. And then they would proceed to eat in silence. And he would do that with Soo Ean every Monday morning without fail. And it took Soo Ean so many years to learn how to cope with his grief and depression, but he was especially thankful to this co-worker who brought him out for dim sum. That co-worker did not give any advice on his situation. He did not say, Soo Ean, it's okay, you know, it will be better. He just listened when Soo Ean wanted to talk. He provided a comforting presence to Soo Ean. And Soo Ean recounted, and I quote, it was his presence, you see. He didn't take my pain away, but at least I knew I wasn't alone. You can face some things in life if you know you are not alone. You don't need a certification to help. Sometimes it's just a simple, I don't know why God has allowed this, but I can't give you an answer, but I'm here for you. Be a good and empathetic listener. The ear is better than the mouth. Soo Ean was able to emerge from his grief and depression because of this co-worker and also the loving support from his friends, his counselor, and the larger Christian community. My brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know that if we as the Christian community are able to be hearers and doers for one another, we are essentially living out the greatest and the second commandment? Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Being socially active and having close friends in the Christian community can improve our resilience to aging. After having known over 250 patients since I joined the hospital a year ago, I'm starting to see a pattern which agrees with the research on aging. Now, patients who belong to a community of close friends, whether classmates or church friends, tend to age well. And when I say close friends, classmates or church friends, I am referring to not just any group of acquaintances. I'm referring to like-minded individuals whom you can trust and you can communicate and who can listen well and cares. And these friends are not toxic, meaning they don't just come together to complain, to berate others, but instead they encourage, they empathize and support one another positively. And when I interact with patients, with friends like what I've described, I find that they are more positive and they seem to recover better. They seem to be more mentally resilient throughout their hospitalization stay. I have a 70-year-old patient who still meets regularly with his classmates from his secondary school. They meet weekly for coffee, and sometimes they will organize outings to different parts of Singapore to eat. And when asked why he was positive about his recovery, he says that his friends who had similar surgeries before were able to assure him. And then his church friends also prayed together with him. Now, patients who have a group of close friends and have shared deeply about life's issues, such as retirement, health, death and dying, are found to be more resilient towards aging. On the other hand, patients that prefer to be isolated and do not think it is necessary to have friends or any social interaction at all tend to struggle more when they experience sickness and hospitalization. They will find it hard to accept their failing health, and they will feel that no one cares for them and that the world has been unfair to them. Therefore, being in a loving Christian community can have a massive impact on a person's resilience towards aging, especially if that community consists of friends who can be good hearers and doers for one another. And this was what James exhorted us from chapter 1, verse 19 to 22. If we are quick to hear, slow to speak, as both hearers and doers, the Christian community can be a source of emotional, mental, social, and spiritual support as we all age together. James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20 is the epilogue or ending of that letter, where James was giving final instructions to the early Christian community. And you see, we started with James 1 and now we are at James 5. And this is like bookends to the letter of James. And it reads, "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." James concluded his letter by instructing the early Christian community to seek and reconcile the lost. They were to bring the wandering brother or sister back to the truth of the gospel, to reconcile the lost back to God. Now, typically when we talk about reconciliation, we think about mediating to resolve conflict or to repair fractured relationships. However, in my role as a palliative chaplain in the hospital, I help dying patients achieve reconciliation. Now, palliative patients typically have about 3 months or less to live due to a life-limiting illness or declining body function. And the intention in palliative care is not to cure the disease, but to manage the symptoms and provide comfort all the way to the end. And thus, my work with the dying is to address and support the emotional, mental, and spiritual needs, to give them a final opportunity for any reconciliation. And if they do, they may come to an acceptance of death with dignity instead of dying in despair. We want them to live well instead of living with regrets, anger, grief, resentment, or any unfinished business. Now, as a chaplain, I use this framework in my conversations to help the dying patients process their thoughts, especially those who can still converse. I ask questions related to relationship with yourself. How do you feel about yourself? Do you have guilt on yourself? Are you shameful about yourself or something that you have done? How is your relationship with other people? How is my relationship with my family, with my friends? Is there anyone I want to really thank? Is there anyone I want to forgive or apologize to? Is there anyone I want to say I love you to? Relationship with environment. How connected am I with nature and creation? Do I value nature or creation? Or what environment is meaningful to me? Is it a coffee shop? Is it the soccer stadium? Or where? Or is it home? And on our relationship with God, we ask, am I angry with God? Do I resent God for what he has done or not done? Do I wish forgiveness from God? Now, these are very real questions which my patients are all concerned with. And so by using this framework, we can support the dying patient to address these concerns so that he or she may pass on in peace and with dignity. And as the patients share their stories with us, they themselves are also reminded how they live their life. For it is said that the dignity we seek in dying must be found in the dignity which we have lived our lives. The dignity which we seek in dying must be found in the dignity with which we have lived our lives. Ars Moriendi translates to the art of dying. It is a genre of Christian literature and art from the Middle Ages which provided guidance for a good death. It was written in 1415 after the Black Death to teach Christians how to die well. And it provides a set of spiritual and moral guidelines for a good death by focusing on faith, resisting despair, and preparing for life after death. At its heart, the art of dying well is simply the art of living well. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if the art of dying well is simply the art of living well, then we must ask ourselves, how are we living today? We can use this four dimensions framework for our self-check. We can think about our relationships with ourselves. Are we always unkind to ourselves? Or are we asking so much of ourselves that we often become anxious and depressed? How is our relationship with our family members, our friends, our church friends? How is our relationship with our environment? And how is our relationship with God? We do not have to wait until the end of life to reconcile ourselves with others and God. Now, typically, when we were able to help a patient come to a sense of reconciliation of relationships in these four dimensions, he or she will experience a sense of spiritual wholeness instead of brokenness. And when we talk about wholeness, we are reminded of the Hebrew word shalom, which means wholeness and completeness. It is in this state of positive integration and shalom that a dying patient can look back in his or her life and come to a summation of the lived life and say, my life has been truly a blessing from God. Or God has been gracious to me despite my faults. Or Jesus is truly my good shepherd. Being able to come to such a conclusion is considered a positive outcome, achieving integration instead of despair, an experience of shalom instead of restlessness. And after that, the patient will be able to die well. Let me share a story. I had a dying patient who was in her late 80s. Let's call her Madam Lee. And in her prime, Madam Lee worked as an assistant technician in a school. She shared that her supervisor would often ask her to do tasks that are outside of her job scope. Once the supervisor had asked her to learn how to use a typewriter. This was many, many years ago. And so that she could help type some documents. You know how challenging it is to use a typewriter, right? You cannot type wrongly. Type wrongly, you got to change the whole piece of paper. And because Madam Lee's command of English was weak, she hesitated but still forced herself to go through with the typewriter course. Months later, that same supervisor asked her to learn to manually engrave names of staff on their office doors. Now again, she felt anxious and not confident of the work, but still went on to learn engraving. Now these requests kept on happening every few months, and each time it made Madam Lee feel very anxious and overwhelmed. And as I heard Madam Lee share about her past, I asked her to look back at her lived experience and if she could summarize her life for me. Now, because of the generation, they seldom have the chance to reflect and be introspective. So Madam Lee took a few days to think through. And by then, she called me to her bedside when she got it. She said these five Mandarin words, 也不过如此, or not a big deal. She clarified that her past fears and anxieties about her work challenges were unnecessary. Every time she overcame these challenges, she realized that they were no big deal, not that difficult after all. And then I asked her, probing her summary even further, I asked, how about this challenge of death? How do you feel about it? To my surprise, she was very confident in her reply, and she said, I don't think it will be a big deal either. I know Jesus will be there with me. 我知道耶稣会在那边等我. Now, a few days later, she became more tired and drowsy. And when I spoke with her again, she asked in her tired voice, she said, 岳母,我准备好了,为什么耶稣还没有带我走? I'm ready to go, but why has Jesus not taken me yet? And I told her, shall we pray and ask Jesus? She agreed. And Madam Lee breathed her last in the middle of the prayer, and she passed away very comfortably and peacefully. Her outcome was that of positive integration and reconciliation instead of despair. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we do not have to wait until the end of life for reconciliation back to God and to His community. If we have been wandering from the truth, then perhaps it is time to be reconciled. James exhorted us to be hearers and doers of the word within a Christian community, and that in doing so, we are loving God and loving one another. On this Senior Sunday, it is my hope that we can become a loving church community of hearers and doers so that we may support one another as we age together. I know recently two of our beloved elders, Elder Wee Charlie and Elder David Cher, have gone home to be with the Lord. We miss them, as I've heard many of you share. I miss them as well. But recently, I was greatly comforted by a short but beautiful litany from this book, Every Moment Holy, Volume 2, on Death, Grief, and Hope. And please allow me to read it out for us, that we may find hope and comfort from it. And since there's no slide, you can close your eyes and just listen. A liturgy for the living of last things. I know that I am not long for this world, O Lord, that I am, even now, perhaps, already living a litany of last things. Soon there will be a last sunrise seen, a last sunset met, a last marveling at the moon or wondering at the stars. A last awareness of the color blue, a last weeping, a last grief, a last commiseration, a last joke, a last shared laughter, a last song heard or sung, a last story told, a last visitor, a last conversation, a last I love you, a last hand held, that final squeeze, a last goodbye, and a last letting go. And then, that first hello, that first opening of my eyes in a place I've never seen but have always known as home. And there, oh my King and my Christ, is where the real wonder begins. Above all that that has been said, we must be reminded that ultimately Christ remains as our hope for life and death. Amen. Please allow me to pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking to us today. Teach us to live as your people, walking closely with you in our homes, our workplaces, in church, and within our friendships. When the time comes for us to leave this world, remind us that we do not go alone. You have gone before us through the cross and the grave, and you are our friend and our Redeemer. And so help us, Lord, to face death with quiet trust, resting not in our goodness, but in your finished work. Send us out now to live for you, to love like you, and to trust you, both in our living and our leaving. For we pray and ask all these in your name. Amen.